Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country? And we're conveniently located right by the airport. Start your journey today at columbussubaru.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to comedian Ally Makovsky Part 2. It was awesome having Ally come back on the podcast. And my favorite part of her interview was when she talked about her experience going on Joe Rogan's podcast for the very first time. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, for the second time on the podcast, comedian Ally Makovsky, part two. How you doing?
I'm so good.
Thanks for coming.
Of course.
It's been a while. Has it been a year?
I think so, at least. Even more.
Really?
Maybe, just a little bit more.
God, time.
Time either goes by so fast or it feels like so slow. But I feel most of the time it goes by pretty quickly.
I've been going through a depression.
Really?
Yeah, we're living in dark times.
Yeah, like throughout the whole thing?
Just lately, because I research conspiracy things, mm-hmm. and I think I go down a little bit deeper than I need to down these rabbit holes. And according to this one guy, Jordan Maxwell, he thinks that something tragic is going to happen in October. He's like looking like at the stars, like the way Nostradamus looked at the stars. And he's saying it like Scorpio is going to be in effect with Mars. And if you flip the M, it's war. It's going to be a poisonous war. Yeah, I'm just losing my mind.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I know the feeling. Every once in a while, I'll go down a fun little conspiracy rabbit hole. And I'm like, am I even real?
And is it healthy, especially for us, because we're addicts?
Yeah.
You know, and what am I doing?
Well, I was watching something, and a lot of times people who get into conspiracies, it's, you know, a way for our brain. It's easy to pick up on conspiracies because our brain wants to put things together.
Yeah.
And when tragic things happen, it's hard for us to process them.
Yeah.
And so that's why conspiracies are so appealing, because it gives you some sort of like, oh, that makes sense. That's why, you know, even if it's bad, you're like, okay, but it makes sense why it happened, because this led to this led to this.
Yeah, we need to make sense of it.
Yeah,
it
so
gives
I take
an explanation, and it gives
meaning,
like a narrative as well. To you're right, or else, I think at least with me, I want to have the answer. You know, like with like you know the way I used to just pick up and drink or use or do drugs or whatever. I needed an immediate solution, like oh my god,
or a way to change your feeling instantly.
And then, but now it's like I'm forced to sit and really just feel, and look at the current events don't help as far as this COVID shit, and we're like living in a zombie movie, like wear a mask 6 feet apart. It's like crazy.
It's definitely a good time to get into conspiracy, because this is a very unclear time in history.
Yeah.
You know, nothing like this has really happened in our lifetime, so it feels very. This is what I go back to.
Go ahead.
I go, there's been a lot of fucked up shit that's gone on in history, you know?
Yeah.
Plenty of crazy fucked up shit, mm-hmm. whether you want to compare it to now and say, oh, well, it wasn't as bad as this, or it was worse than this. Either way, we've always gotten through. We've been able to come out on the other side, whether
like
it's
that.
Good or bad.
I like that.
We're podcasting right now. Obviously, yeah, sure, things are bad, but we're alive. we're doing a podcast. We have technology. We have a new intern.
Yeah, we have
a
roof over our heads.
Yeah.
Are you eating every day?
I'm
eating every day. Ren, are you eating every day? Yeah. We're eating every day.
Yeah.
We're not homeless as of yet. Have you noticed a change in Los Angeles?
For sure.
Specifically as far as just the vibe out there? Tell me what you're feeling and what you're seeing.
I think it's a very tense time, you know. I think especially after being in lockdown, a lot of people feel... People are scared right now, whether they want to admit it or not, no matter what side you're on. People are scared, whether you're an anti-masker or a masker, you're scared.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's because you think the government is controlling you and telling you to wear a mask, or because your rights are being taken away,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, you know.
Do you shop at... Where have you been grocery shopping? Ralph's?
Ralph's.
I've seen some crazy shit go down at Ralph's.
I go to Ralph's at a time when I don't really see any crazy shit. But when the pandemic first hit, I went to Ralph's. I ended up in someone's vlog. That's never good. You don't want to be in a quarantine vlog. Well, the world's ending.
I was in a world-famous YouTuber's vlog, Emma Chamberlain. Have you heard of her?
Wait, I love her.
I was at Target with my neighbor and friend Craig.
Okay.
And we were in the elevator. She had this, she was with her homies.
Yeah.
They were vlogging, and she had like this cool Canon high-tech camera. And you could hear my voice, you know, because my voice is a little distinct. You know, it's high-pitched or whatever. So I go, hey, what kind of camera is that? And I was like asking about the camera.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know who she was, but then someone hit me up on DMs like, dude, you're on Emma Chamberlain's vlog.
That's so funny.
And I'm like, who the hell is Emma Chamberlain? But she's like... 12 billion followers.
Crazy. It's crazy.
She gets paid, huh?
Oh, yeah.
She's rich, huh?
All these young people are getting
paid.
Yeah.
How?
People love
endorsements.
It's like just who they are. Like all you have to just be is like a cool kid and people are like, we want to give you all the money.
We want you to go to Coachella. We'll pay for all your friends.
Yeah.
5-star hotel.
Yeah.
We'll have it sponsored at any beverage company.
Anything.
Just go and take a picture by the Ferris wheel.
That's it.
And watch this group perform.
Yeah.
God, we're in a crazy time.
It is a weird time. It's kind of fun, though. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? It's cool.
Yeah. I was going through a rut at the beginning of lockdown.
What do you mean? You're kicking. And by the way, good job on Joe. You're on Joe Rogan,
dude. Yeah, that was cool.
That's like a big deal. You made it.
You know what?
In my book, in my definition of you made it, dude.
I get that.
That's the biggest fucking podcast in the goddamn world.
Yeah. I don't think I made it. It's definitely one of the coolest things that I've done. But it's like, if I'm not doing other cool shit, then that means nothing.
But you are. Cool. You're skating. You're skateboarding now.
Yeah.
You're still working on your comedy.
Yes.
Don't you think you're on the right track?
For sure. 100%.
Now, let me ask you something. I'm just curious. Just personally curious. Were you nervous before you...
Oh, my God. Of course I was nervous.
What were you sweating? Like, tell me what you're going through.
Well, so he called me the day before.
Ooh.
And he doesn't really call, you know, so I was like, I thought he was calling to tell me he had gone to Texas, like he was calling to say goodbye and like, you know, hopefully I'll see you in Texas or whatever. So I get the phone call. We're talking for like maybe 15, 20 minutes. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, what's happening? And all of a sudden he's like, so do you want to do the pod tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, I think schedule's free.
He asked you?
Yeah, of course.
Because you know damn well.
I'm not going to ask.
But you know damn well everybody asks him.
Yes.
Everyone and their mother and their grandfather asks him.
Of course. And that's the thing. It's like when I first started opening for him and going on the road, everyone was like...
Let's go down that history. Like, okay. Like go ahead, say the history.
Okay.
So how did you meet and how did you start opening for Joe?
Yeah. So I started doing comedy when I was like 18 or 19. And then I started doing a podcast at the Comedy Store about a year into stand-up called Kill Tony.
Shout out to Tony Hinchcliffe.
Shout out to Tony Hinchcliffe, mm-hmm. Brian Redband, the whole Death Squad fam.
I did, you
were a guest.
So awkward. I didn't know when to speak.
I know. And you're like
just
a very nice guy.
I was like just scared and... Ryan tried to give me a couple opportunities to speak, but like, that's his thing.
Totally.
Yeah. But
I've been a guest on that show where I've been like nonstop chit chatting, making jokes. And then the most recent time I did it, I was like pretty quiet just because sometimes there's not much you can say or like, sometimes I'm like, I don't have anything funny to say and I don't want to like talk for the sake of just hearing my own voice.
Yeah.
So it just varies. I feel like that's how
so
I am with
everything.
So
you as a comedian, you felt that being on that panel on stage?
Sometimes you're like, I don't think there's a right time for me to talk right now.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's cool. That's kind of like humanizes you even more, like just to being a normal spectator. Like, yeah, it's not just.
Well, I think some people have like this gift of always being on or being able to turn it on when they need to.
Not me.
I'm so dependent on so many things. Like, I have to have the right amount of food in me, the right amount of sleep. Mm-hmm. I have to feel confident. Like, there's so many things that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be on. And so sometimes if I'm doing a podcast, like, I'm not going to try and exert like this energy that I don't have to like be funny or like, this is who I am. I'm like, I can't.
Mm-hmm. Can people see through that too? If you like force that as
I think some people are good at it though. Like, some people are just like good at being on, even
like
if
doing the one-liners.
Yeah.
To me, it seemed like I enjoyed the experience. It was scary for me, but to me, the vibe I got was, oh, they already like planned on these one-liners, because the way they're
Tony's just been doing it for so long, like he's just always been built to do like quick comebacks, so mm-hmm. That's just how his brain works.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
But so I started doing that when I was like 20, and I was a year into comedy or so. But the Comedy Store was pretty strict about age, and they found out when I started to Kill Tony that I was under 21, so I was kicked out of the store for about a year.
Damn.
Yeah, so I would go hang out on the sidewalk. And then on my 21st birthday at midnight, I came in. I started becoming a regular on Kill Tony. So I would do a brand new minute every week. Tony was opening consistently for Joe at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was just telling Joe, like, oh, there's this new girl. She's really funny. She's young. Like, she just has, like, a new perspective.
That's
you know?
Cool
like
he did that.
Yeah, super cool. So I think he just had been telling Joe about me for so long that eventually I think Joe probably just got sick of it and was like, let me just see her perform, you know?
Oh, and then he just went into saw
but
one
he
of your
had
sets?
He had seen me on Kill Tony, I think, like two times. Mm-hmm. But I think Tony just like gassed me up so much that he offered to give me some guest spots at the Ice House in Pasadena mm-hmm. for a weekend. So I did that. And a couple months later, he hit me up to do some local spots with him.
Dope.
And then eventually, you know, I started to be able to do arenas and theaters with him.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that was really crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and people would be like, oh, so are you going to, like, ask to do the pod? Like, when are you doing the pod? And I'm like, I don't know if I have anything to say for 3 hours right now. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to ask to do something that
format,
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like I said, my energy levels can be so off sometimes that I'm like, I don't want to ask and then show up and then be like off or something.
Do you need to be like on like a cup of coffee or because I can't get out of bed without a cup of coffee or Red Bull. Like I'm literally a zombie.
Yeah, I've become very caffeine dependent.
You do.
Specifically coffee.
And nicotine too.
And nicotine. Yeah.
Fuck, that's crazy. So.
But yeah. So he asked.
That's so crazy. He asked. It happened organically.
Yes.
Then you start opening for him on the road.
Yeah, and that's how I want everything in my life to happen. I don't want to ever force anything. I feel like everything that's supposed to happen will, so I just trust that good things will come. So
that's actually a great attitude. Do you think that, do you do exercises as far as like positive thinking or do you just go with the flow?
If I'm in a real dark place, I'll look at myself in the mirror and have a very serious conversation. There was one time where I was tripping.
What, you talked to yourself in the mirror?
Yeah, there was one time I was literally...
I'm so sorry. I just had a visual of you doing that.
Oh, yeah. It was psycho. I was looking in the mirror being like, people are saying this about you. Like, you know, just like all this super crazy negative self-talk where I thought everyone was against me. And like, I was just feeling really like down about myself. And I was looking in the mirror being like, you're a piece of shit. No one likes you. Blah, blah, blah. You don't have any friends.
That's not true though, Allie.
And so then I'm still looking at myself.
I'm telling you.
Thank you.
As an outsider.
Yes.
That's not true.
And that's what I had to tell myself. I'm looking in the mirror having all this crazy talk.
Yeah.
And I literally, there was something where I saw it in my eyes. I go, no one has ever said this to your face. You've never heard this. Until the day that someone tells you straight up, like a good friend of yours, it's like, hey, you suck. You're a piece of shit.
Yeah,
no one likes
you. Yeah.
Then I'm not taking this into account.
Trolls don't count.
No, trolls don't count. Because
they don't everyone, know me. And then when you get to a certain level or whatever followers, you're going to get one or two out there.
Of course. I love them. They're nice.
Yeah, I mean.
Not to me, but I'm sure outside.
Yeah, and you know the thing is, and even if they say something, it's really not about you. It's about like the way.
It's a reflection.
A reflection of what, the way they feel about their
and
life.
And here's the thing with trolling. I feel like I had troll mentality when I was in middle school and like maybe in what even ways? In high school. Like with people who are famous, you know, like Justin Bieber. Like if he was dating someone, I'd be like, that bitch, like I hate her. But it's because I'm like, I want to be with Justin Bieber.
He's a good looking guy.
So good looking.
I mean, his.
But he's Christian now, so it wouldn't
I know,
work.
But like his tattoos and everything.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
I mean, I'm a straight guy, and I could honestly
you can
say
see.
That. Yeah, him and Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy, I yeah, mean, that's a good one. On. Not my particular brand of mm-hmm. white man, but I see it, you know? I get it.
He's just a man's man.
Yeah.
He's just kind of, and his acting is just, wow.
Yeah.
Just really
so good.
Straight shooter, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I could talk about
yeah,
boys
yeah,
all
yeah,
day.
You do. I mean, do you do you, like you still get boy crushes and everything?
Oh my god, I've been like boy crazy since a young child.
Like what?
Like
kind of guys are you? Do you like skater, surfer dudes?
I don't really have a type.
Mm.
I don't really have a type. Mm-hmm. I hate to say this because it sounds so LA, but mm-hmm. I am genuinely attracted to people's energy.
Really?
Yeah, of course I'm like, oh, that person's hot, but if mm-hmm. I talk to them and their energy's whack, I'm like, I'm not wasting
yeah.
my time like trying to make myself like you because you're physically attractive.
Do you secretly crush on them or is it like, is it, do you, like, are you in your own kind of like romantic movie, but only you're in it and they don't know about it?
Sometimes I get that way. Definitely.
Or do you
like,
let them know?
I'm pretty direct. I'm pretty direct.
Like, give me an example of something you did in high school where you let the guy know.
Oh, okay. So my first boyfriend I ever had.
Go ahead. Can we give him a shout out? Or?
Yeah, shout out to Blake. I talk about
what
him
up, Blake?
A lot.
What
it's
up, Blake?
Actually concerning. I feel like bad. I feel
no,
like I should
okay.
be
no,
paying
No, no, no. Blake's
him.
The homie. We're going to give
chill.
Him a platform.
Blake's super
Blake's,
cool.
Blake's, he's
but I do
okay.
talk about him a lot to okay. the point where I'm like, do people think I'm obsessed with this guy? A little bit. He's my first, you know, love.
Hey, yeah.
How do you not think about Blake every
exactly.
now and again on
so
podcasts?
So when did you, give me the history on that.
So I was friends with his stepbrother. I would hang out with his stepbrother a lot. We would like hang out, whatever. I
would
met.
Just go to the movie or just go.
I would like go to his house. We'd go to like the soccer mm-hmm. field. Like we would
just chill.
Kick it. Yeah.
Kick
we were
it,
homies.
Just kick it. Just kick it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was one of the guys, you know.
Was Blake's brother older or younger?
They were the same age.
Same age.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Blake went to a different school, which mm-hmm. I thought was pretty cool. And actually, I think he was a year older.
You'd
he was
be,
a year older.
You'd be crazy. What if Blake's brother had a crush on you? And you didn't know it, and the whole time, you secretly liked Blake.
Blake's brother was into Latina chicks.
That's fine. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
So I
I've
don't
dated
think,
a couple too in my life.
I don't think I was his cup of tea, but there is a possibility he was trying to dip
yeah,
into what? into the white pond.
The white pond.
I don't know. The Swan Lake.
Keep going. I love this story.
So I'm hanging out with his stepbrother. I go to his house a lot. We kick it all the time. I remember I met Blake at his house just in passing very briefly. He was playing video games or something. And I was like,
what
damn.
Was he playing? What system was it?
Probably World of Warcraft.
Oh, he was doing that.
Yeah. You shoot in that, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Warcraft. No, that's more of a... Yeah, magic kind of.
What was the one that came
strategy
out?
Strategy game.
What was the one that came out and there were like all these memes about? They're like, oh my knee is wounded, or like oh you like an arrow to the knee.
Skyrim. That's
this
my
the
shit.
Time that
oh,
Skyrim
okay,
came
okay.
out.
That was my,
yeah,
that was
like
my jam.
09, 010.
Skyrim was 010. My jam too. Yeah.
Oh, why did I say 010?
It's okay.
10.
It's okay. So he's playing RPG.
So he's playing some game.
And
yeah,
then he goes, oh hi.
First person shooter games. Yeah, yeah.
He did one of those,
know,
right?
He
oh, hey, how you doing?
No, he's a pretty shy dude, so he didn't even say anything. So I'm like, damn, he's mysterious, and he plays first-person shooter games, you know? And he had long hair. He went to a different
oh.
school. He was a year older than me, so everything was
you
just
got
like
that Kurt Cobain.
Ticking boxes,
that
you know?
That Cobain
oh, yeah.
vibe going.
Mm-hmm.
Mystery Cobain.
Yeah. So I found him on Facebook, of course.
So I take it that first engagement, he didn't even say hi. He just... Oh, hey.
Probably didn't even notice me.
Okay, and then yeah. but then that's when you fell in love with him?
Yeah. That's how I do it. I meet a guy. I think that they're cute, and I'm like, we're in love, and I can't wait for the wedding and our kids and our second homes. Oh yeah, I go all the way to the end.
You go.
I go to like, where are we going to be buried? Are we going to be burned?
That's a bit. That's a different level.
Yeah.
So you hold it's up. Let me correct me if I'm wrong. When you crush, you go all the way retirement.
Yes, but then here's the other
wedding.
Thing. Yes. I go through everything. I'm like, should we get a 401k, Roth IRA? Like,
this is all in your mind.
Oh, yeah.
You plan it out?
But the thing is, I lose that feeling within a week, typically. I'm all in, and then like they'll blink a weird way, and I'm like, I got to go. I can't be with you.
Or maybe his breath.
It'll be anything will set me off.
Or like a booger or something?
Yeah, one thing. If they trip in front of me, I'm like, I can't be with a guy who trips.
Or like if they stutter or...
Yeah.
Eye booger.
See, but then on the only if it's like a minor thing, like it can, like it'll anyway.
No, this is so interesting. But dude, that's so crazy. Would you say that's normal? I mean, because I know people crush, but you take it till death.
I don't think it's normal, but I don't think it's not uncommon. Because I'll tell friends about this a lot, and they'll be like,
"Other women
have
done this."
Yes,
but they won't admit it. That's the thing. Yeah. They would never admit it. But at least you're honest about it.
Oh yeah.
Okay, let's keep... This is interesting to me. Okay,
yeah,
keep
going.
Yeah,
so I find him on Facebook. I immediately message him. I probably poked him too, you know? Back when you could poke people on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. So that's a...
I threw a couple of pokes.
Flirtation.
Yeah.
You poked him? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I poked and messaged, and I... you know, eventually we're messaging, and this was on the Super Bowl Sunday, February 2nd. Is when it became official. Packers won.
Yeah.
I became a Packers fan because of this. Not really. Not to this day, but...
Because he was a Packers fan?
No, it was because they won when we made it official. And the way that we made it official, after never talking in person...
What do you mean made it official?
So I'll get into it.
Okay.
So we've never hung out in person. We've never talked in person. I've only seen him in passing once and started messaging him on Facebook. Mm-hmm. One night, probably. It was probably a lonely night in high school. I message him saying, I think I should change my relationship status on Facebook. I'm kind of bored with being single. And he was like, okay. And I was like, so do you want to be my boyfriend?
What? Damn.
Yeah.
That's...
So then he became my boyfriend. Yeah, the Packers won. Whoa. We didn't hang out in person. We were boyfriend and girlfriend for maybe like a month or longer until we hung out for the first time in person. And then we were together for almost 2 years.
Now, okay, your official first date
was at Disneyland, and it was a double date.
Damn, that's a smooth plan. Mm-hmm. So you're on a Small World, and he puts his arm around you.
We're on the Matterhorn, and I feel his Matterhorn. You know, wasn't the only horn I felt.
So
it was awkward.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You're on the Matterhorn, mm-hmm. and by the time you see that monster, you put your hand on his Matterhorn.
No.
Okay.
We didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything.
We were so awkward because, you know, he was my first boyfriend. I was his first girlfriend. We're like weird, awkward, horny teenagers who don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'd touched a couple over the pants.
But this is high school. Keep in mind.
This is high school, but I was a prude. I was a prude.
What does that mean? Define prude.
Like, a lot of my friends were like already like losing their virginity and having like serious
boyfriends.
Yeah.
Virgin throughout all of high school.
I love that. I love that. And you're doing great. I think.
I had crushes. I would do what you did, but it would be all no action, all in my mind. Crank calling their house to hear their voice.
Of course.
Just creepers.
I mean, I've done that too. I've been the creepy
silent type. But I call more than once.
Yeah.
Like, I would just go. I would like, you know, this is back during house phones, and I'd call, and then sometimes the father would answer, hang up. The one opportunity I had to talk to her, it was after PE. You know, she came out of the girls' locker room, and we're walking up this up ramp, and then she actually started talking to me, and I freaking dropped the ball.
It's scary.
I was just like, yeah, I just didn't know what to say. So, yeah, just... And Christian camps didn't help my game either.
Christian camps are the worst. Woo! Here's the thing.
Didn't help my game.
No, if
did
you...
Did not help my... I'd bring him to church camp before making a move. I'd be like, Jesus loves you.
Come to Hume Lake.
Yeah. Oh, you know about Hume Lake?
Oh, I've been. I've been to the lake.
You've been.
I thought
the
God
log cabins.
I thought God was gonna work miracles for me in my
the
game
foosball.
Out there. Yeah, I had everything. The worship, the acoustic guitars.
Remember the marathon
yeah.
at the end? You ran 5 miles and you're
very
like, why
familiar.
Do that? Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
So you know about Hume Lake.
Yes.
Describe what Hume Lake was in high school.
Hume Lake is a very popular Christian sleepaway camp. And here's the thing. It's not horny at all.
I met a girl there too.
Yeah,
I dropped
of course.
The ball. I met a girl from Orange County. I was from Poway, San Diego.
Mm.
I met cute brunette girl, whole different from LA, whatever. Didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
Didn't know what to do, and she would make an attempt to like flirt and hey, let's take a walk in the woods.
That's why
like,
Christian God is
oh
evil.
Oh my God.
I don't trust Christian
why
God.
Why would God do that? Why?
Yeah. And like, they make you wear a one-piece bathing suit. I'm like, if I can't show my stomach to God, who am I doing it for?
Did you actually swim in the lake?
Yeah.
Do you remember that huge blob thing where
yes.
one person, like a fat yes. person or something, or someone heavy, jumps on one side, and then you, on the other side, it like uplifts
that
you.
That photo
and,
was on my Facebook.
And then you're like catching air?
Yes. And there was a big guy at our youth group,
mm-hmm.
big dude. So we just kept making him go,
go
up. Yeah,
jump,
we were like,
yeah.
come on, Matt.
To get air.
Yeah.
Did
it
you?
Was fun.
And I remember I was smoke. Oh my God, I was smoking. I snuck cigarettes there.
How?
My friend had a Marlboro mediums.
Bad
and
boy.
We would, before the, did you eat at that? It was
yes,
like a
of
big
course.
Log cabin.
Yes.
It was like table. It was like
the cafeteria.
Yeah, cafeteria. And it would be, they'd have like juice set up and then there are tons of tables there. Like this huge wooden kind of huge cabin.
I got baptized right outside of the cafeteria.
Oh, they did? Oh.
Not with water.
Yeah.
I had to wait until I got to the hot tub at the church.
Mm-hmm.
Why does every church have a hot tub? That's sketchy and we need to look into it.
You know what? Come to think about it. I think I wasn't hooking up, but mm-hmm. I know for a fact other kids were hooking
of
up.
Of course.
For real.
And did you do...
I mean, it was all around me. I was in denial because I was secretly
yeah.
kind of jealous because I didn't know how to do what they
of
were
course.
Doing. But I could tell that there was flirtation around me. But I'm just like reading Philippians and come on, guys.
Yeah.
You know, this do our...
Job is a
our
cool guy.
Yeah,
you just got to get to know him.
Our daily prayer.
Yeah. And did you do that thing where everyone's in the cabin, all your cabin mates, and you go around and you say what your biggest sin is?
Yes.
It's fucked up.
And not only that, were you in a cabin where it was like 10 bunks? They're like bunk beds.
Mm-hmm.
But then people would be like battling to get in the shower. And because by the time I got in there, I was like the eighth one, like there was no hot water in it. Like, did you deal with that?
I don't even remember showering there. Like, it's all, I think I've blocked a lot of it out.
What?
I don't know.
Camp.
I don't know. It was just like, it was because here's the thing. I went to Jewish sleepaway camp the
yeah.
previous 2 years.
Was it co-ed?
Yes. And Jewish sleepaway camp is so horny, so fun. There's very little God in any
just
like
hooking up.
It's once a week. You do the what's it? I'm blanking. Not Yom Kippur. You do the fucking the Seder.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You do
yeah,
Seder
yeah.
On,
and then, yeah.
on the weekend and then you just fucking give little hand jobs.
And that's going down.
Yes.
See,
Jewish
I
camp.
Think that sounds more normal
oh
than
my God.
That sounds more normal than the way that I experienced it.
Jewish sleepaway camp. If you're Christian, Catholic, Mormon, go to Jewish sleepaway camp. It'll change your life.
You know what's so fucked up is why was it that I felt so bad and like a sinner when I was just a kid? You know, the
living.
Worst thing I did was cut weight to. I was in. I was a wrestler.
Yeah, you're sneaking.
Yeah,
Marlboros.
What was I? Well, why was I like feeling so guilty about?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, you know, I remember being like, you know how like you'd have your quiet times. Now go out in the forest and do, you know, and then you would like do your little Bible readings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would remember I'd be like, I'm sorry, God, I said, you know, I looked at her lustfully.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what
yeah.
the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just. Had problems.
Yeah, it's weird.
I'm sorry. I didn't expect.
I'm glad you had
I didn't expect we would talk about Hume Lake.
Crazy.
Now let's go back to your
deep cut.
Yeah, that was just, we went way over here. Now we're going to take it back to, It was Disneyland for with this.
Yeah, it was
kid,
Disney. I was kind of a prude, so yeah. We didn't do anything that first time we hung out, and then I think it took like another month for us to hang out again because I was just scared and awkward and confused. And then, you know, we ended up being together for a long time. I lost my virginity 9 months into the relationship.
But to him? Okay, that was that awkward as well?
Yeah, it was awkward.
It was a mutual thing.
Was awkward, but it was chill. I initiated it because it was on... Because he had wanted to, obviously. We were together for 9 months. He brought it up a lot. Yeah.
He was scared.
But on 11-11-11, I said, today's the day.
You did?
Yeah.
And then was there fear in his eyes?
No, he was like, really? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, he
I
was down.
I'm in my car. Let's get it.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. I was ready. It was on anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was cool.
Yeah.
And then we just boned nonstop. That's all we did.
That's cool.
In my Jeep Grand Cherokee.
There you go. There you go.
Eldorado.
See, that seems more normal than these other Christian camp stories that I did.
And I remember one girl in my cabin, she was crying because she lost her virginity to her boyfriend.
At camp?
No. Just like a pre youth group and all that. And I was like, don't feel bad about it. I wish they would just be like kind of real with you. They're like, I know the Bible says to wait, but don't beat yourself up over it.
Hormones, puberty,
I was like,
you know,
feel bad about that.
Yeah. Like she sinned or something.
Yeah.
Or? Oh, okay.
But then I went off the rails after that.
What'd you do?
Once we broke up, I was like, my virginity means nothing. Like whatever. And then I just started boning everyone.
Yeah. That's, well, you know, that's,
it's part
that's
of my
like,
journey.
It's life. It's life.
Yeah.
Now
I'm a prude again.
You're a prude because I was just gonna ask within the comedy community, because I noticed this when I did mics, open mics and stuff. I noticed that the dude comedians would always hit on like the you know that like open mics and hit on like other comedians that exists, right?
For sure. Yeah, I think when I first started and first going to open mics, you know, I dropped out of college.
Hey, let's have a writing. Let's have a writing
session. I never went to any of those.
But you know what I'm saying? They do that, right?
Oh, yeah. I had a guy.
Write some bits.
I had a guy who's not funny offer to Uber me from my dad's house in Long Beach to his place in Hollywood to have a writing session. I'm like, if you want to write with someone who's been doing comedy for 3 months, like, you're not funny.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I didn't take him up on that offer. But
so that was his pitch?
Yeah. Also, I was like 18 or 19, and he's old.
And he was like, hey, come over for a writing.
But I think like...
Can you do that through email?
Oh, yeah.
Then you should have just said, hey, if you want
to... I mean, he did that through Facebook Messenger. But yeah, I've had other weird scenarios and stuff. But I think when I first started doing open mics, I had dropped out of college. And so I felt like doing open mics was my version of going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would go every night. I would do it a lot. I would like just be out. And I think when you're like a new comedian, you know, the guys who've been doing open mics for a while, you're like, you know, when there's a new girl in school, they're like, oh, I want to be your friend and maybe hook up, or like, you can do my show and maybe hook up. And I just kind of took them all up, you know. I don't think I hooked up with that many people when I first started doing stand-up, but like, if they were gonna offer me stage time and like maybe they were hoping to hook up, like I'd definitely do the stage time and not hook up.
Right.
So
just
it kind
of
worked out.
Just
for
get
me.
Your stage time.
Yeah.
Get the experience of just being on stage. Yeah, I always wondered that. You know, I mean, the fabric of the comedy. I mean, it's crazy right now what's happening, right? As far as like, I don't want to maybe throw people. I don't want to throw the names out there, but you know, kind of who I'm talking. You know, the cancel culture and everything. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, well, this is what I was saying. Like, I mean, I don't know why I said this is what I'm saying, because I've said it in other, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm going to say right now, is that cancel culture is definitely a huge thing right now. I think, you know, there's definitely people who are making some poor decisions and who have done not good things in the past. I think that obviously comedy, you have a platform to be like a public figure. And so people are going to hear about it. And obviously like your job is going to be at risk of, you know, losing your career, whatever. But it's
your
like,
agency as well.
Yeah.
And your management.
But it's
all
like
that.
This type of shit, you know, this predatory behavior is happening in all industries. It's not just comedy.
Not just comedy.
It's music. It's McDonald's. It's Arby's.
Starbucks.
Everywhere. I don't know why I'm just
Costco,
doing food chains.
Costco.
You know, sales jobs.
Everywhere.
Anywhere. So it's like,
That's actually a very good point. Why do they put so much emphasis? Oh, because they're in the limelight, right? They're like,
well, and our
on
worlds
podcasts.
Revolve around comedy, so of course we're going to be in the know and like have feelings about that in particular.
Yeah, it's just a weird kind of time we're in, as far as it's not even due process is out the window. It just all it takes is just.
Well, I think there's a balance.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think. To some, personally, I think if I had, you know, like, obviously a lighter scenario, like something where I just felt uncomfortable. I've been in plenty of uncomfortable romantic, sexual, whatever situations where I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I feel like personally my way of going about it is talking directly to the person.
Yeah. Confronting them, being like, dude, what's
hey,
up with
this? This isn't chill.
Exactly.
I feel uncomfortable. I think you should be careful because other people might feel that same way.
Before going to the LA Weekly or something.
Before going to the LA Weekly or just tweeting about it.
Yeah.
You know, unless, I don't know, but.
You know, that's a very good point. It's like we're in today's age, it's the opposite. It's like, no, I'm not going to deal with the problem right here. I'm going to go through this other door and be like.
But at the same time, I think what's frustrating about cancel culture is like, of course, like, I don't know, it's tough to talk about, but I just think like. You know, if someone says someone did something fucked up, there should be like the thing with using a social media platform to get something across is that, yeah, there's no due process. And it's all like no matter what the apology is or the story is like,
it's
that's
still
just
out there.
It's just on you. It's
yeah,
imprinted
it's
on you,
on
you no
yeah,
matter what.
No matter
and that's
what.
Tough. And that's not a fair situation because I believe people deserve a second chance. People deserve a chance to figure out. You know, what it is that they were doing and really evaluate that and have it come from a good place, not because their manager or agent is like, you need help. You know, I think it should be something that they need to look at themselves.
Right, right.
But it's also just crazy, like the people who will. It's fucked up on both ends because say I'm canceling you, okay, just hypothetically.
Okay,
you I'm canceling you. Then everyone goes and attacks you who doesn't know the full story, doesn't know your side.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
just attacking you. And but then also then there's the other people who are huge Stevie heads who are coming after me for just telling what, you know, is my truth or whatever. And so then it's like, why am I being attacked for being the victim when I'm just doing the best I know how to do?
It's just a fucked up situation all around.
It's a fucked up situation all around. But of course, you know, it's not a perfect world. There's always going to be deviants. There's always going to be bad people.
Always.
Of course. It's just a guaranteed. So it's like, you know, the way that you go about it, the way you address it, the way you handle it in the future, hopefully it just gets better at weeding those people out and not letting them go as far as they are able
to go. Yeah. Do you think that money and power kind of help enable it for the people doing these acts? I
100%.
Right. Like, cause if it's just Joe Schmo off the street, some guy, like some open micer guy who does it, you know, no, like news story is going to pick that up.
Of course.
It has to be someone like this person with a platform, like a, who's been in the movies or this TV show, right?
Yeah. But then to the same effect, it's like, you know, that's what also adds a different layer to it is because, like, you know, if it's someone in, you know, say a big popular field or someone that you're a fan of or someone that you admire and then, you know, you have a weird situation with them, then it puts you in a vulnerable spot where you're like, oh, but I'm such a big fan. I don't want to, you know,
tarnish their legacy
or them, or like have maybe a bad relationship with them in the future or something.
Right.
You know, it's just like it's just a weird position to be in when you have fans and people who look up to you, who are the ones who are directly affected by.
I noticed that. Thank God they took down Harvey Weinstein because that was a whole different level. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen documentaries.
Well, and that's the other thing is
there
are levels.
He was real. Like he would be in his bathrobe or. He would get these nice hotel rooms and he'd be like, come up.
He was on
I got a part for you. Come up.
He had the cheat codes. He was on the final level. There's some dudes who are on like level one. And
so that's a whole different level. Like they're almost like acting like untouchable. Like, you know, like mafia, you know, like people look at mafia, like they're untouchable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what that is. Yeah. They're like, well, no one could touch me. I got billions of dollars, but it's just a crazy world, you know?
Yeah.
Let's go on to, so you're starting to skateboard as well. I mean, that that's was refreshing for me to see. I like that you're skating.
Well, I mean, it was like what we were talking about earlier, dark times during COVID, lockdown. It's a weird time. Feels uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do because my whole life revolved around being out and seeing...
Doing mics.
Yeah, and like just performing and seeing friends and doing all that stuff. And so when it shut down, I kind of lost the sense of purpose. I was like, well, who the fuck am I without comedy? And I think that that was a good thing because it made me realize I need to be a well-rounded person outside of comedy.
Yeah, this thing, that this thing is, it's whatever you make of it.
Totally.
It's one person's career.
Yeah.
It's another person's just... like side hobby. It could be another person's meditation. It could be for another person just transportation to get to the grocery store. It could be whatever you make it, and so that, you know, whatever you want to do with it is just positive all around, I think. I noticed more and more people starting to skateboard too.
Like, well, they've had a boom. A lot of skate shops are like out of stock. It's hard to find certain things for a board. Because there is definitely a big surge in skateboarding right now.
When do you think that's happened? Do you think it's because they're implementing it in the Olympics now?
No.
And when did that start?
COVID, lockdown.
Oh, they're like,
because
I
you can
do...
skate anywhere. And a lot of people who skate just break into, you know, hop the fence to get into a skate park. And it's been,
are those open? I haven't skated in a long time.
Some of them are like shut off, but like
I saw you at Stoner Skate Plaza though.
Yeah, I go to Stoner.
Is it open?
A lot. It sometimes is open if someone's plied the gate.
So you could just
but
sneak
I
in
jumped
there?
The fence.
You could just jump in there?
Oh yeah.
Oh. And are there other skaters in
there? And that's the other thing that's nice is like those first 2 months of lockdown, I was at my mom's house and I wasn't going out at all. And I was just kind of going crazy. And then I was able to be like, okay, it's been 2 months. It's enough like poor Allie pity party time. I'm going to start to figure out like what I want to do creatively with comedy and also just outside of comedy and like pass my time. So I had a friend who was looking for a place to live, a friend of a friend, and he ended up being a skater. And I have a board that I've had for like 4 years that I never ride. And he was like, we should skate. So I've been skating with him, and
that's awesome.
It's been nice because the skate community is a lot like the comedy community. It feels like I'm at open mics at the skate park. Just like you go, you talk shit with your friends, you try and like do a new trick.
Yeah, I get totally self-conscious, especially if there's like really good skaters, like pros.
Yeah.
Like I remember I used to, this was years ago, I used to go to Jay Kwan every Sunday. And I remember because I like the trick I can do every time is a pop shove it. And I know you're learning those too. And so I was like, there was like a bunch of really good skaters around me. And I was so self-conscious and like paranoid that like when I went to like do it, I like did the splits. I've never done this. But then I know it's kind of like bombing. They were like, you know, like I heard like the oohs and ahs. And that made it 100 times worse. I like just picked up my board and I went and I just like went to the what are you laughing at, Ren? Dude, I'm being vulnerable right now. Okay, but I remember being so like embarrassed like cuz that's like and then I couldn't like I had a hard time processing it cuz I'm like I could do that trick with my eyes closed. Why is it like cuz it was fear. I was just like, "Oh, you know, this is the thing. I wanted to pop it so high." Like I squatted down super, I was like, and then I like, I'm like, and then I just completely missed the whole, like, I didn't even, I missed the tail and I went, and then, you know what happened? It wasn't a full split. It's like one leg was bent here, but then this other one split and I was like,
that hurts so bad.
And
your groin. Like,
yeah. My groin area.
Yeah. I've done that.
But it was even worse because there's like really reputable pro, like
Stevie Williams is always there. He's sick.
Oh, that guy's a legend.
Yeah. He's always a Jay Kwan.
Is he really?
I see it on his
stories. See that? I don't know how I feel about that because it's like, I was nervous about like sponsored people being there, but if a legend like that's there, when do you go for your turn?
Never.
That's
you
the thing.
Watch.
At Jay Kwan, it's like you're in a movie. It's like every like thing, every line, they're like watching every, you know, and people are doing such high level flip in, flip out, fucking shit, and
you're just a part of the audience.
You're
that
just
point.
Like, what do I do?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like it though. Like I want to fall when I go to the park, just because I want to know that I'm like trying to do something. And that's something that's interesting because I feel like with comedy, I'm more reluctant. Like mm-hmm. I get scared to fall or bomb or whatever.
So what would be a good analogy? It's like trying a brand new joke
yeah.
that you've never done.
Or doing a joke, but like...
At the improv on a packed night with like yeah. Dane Cook watching yeah. or something.
Yeah.
That's like what Jay Kwan is, kind of.
Kind of. I've never been to Jay Kwan.
We should go. Okay. And just do a vlog.
I'm down.
But we won't be where all the skaters are. We'll be in like on a dark the side.
Corner. Yeah.
Like on the street yeah. corner.
I'll just be popping ollies.
And then when it's like 7 at night, I'm like, oh, people are leaving. Yeah, let's go. Let's yeah. try to like just do a little yeah.
But I feel like the falling and the embarrassing is fun because then when you get it, everyone's stoked because they've seen how bad you are, at least in my experience.
But they know you're trying. But with certain skaters, I've had a bad experience at Stoner. Like, I didn't, because everyone is, you know, I know people are self-centered, okay? Everyone is in a way. But with skaters, some of them are like, they feel like they're in their own, like, Tony Hawk movie. Like, I was standing by something. I didn't realize this person was trying to skate. And I almost got in a fight. Mm. He's like, what the fuck, bro? Get the fuck out of the, you know? And I'm like, oh, like. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then from that moment, like, he was like, I thought like we're going to throw, like, I thought this guy was going to fight me.
Yeah.
Like, his attitude was so negative and violent towards me. Like, he kept looking at me, get the fuck out of my, like, kind of like, get the fuck out of my way. Yeah. Like, get out of here. And so I have trauma from that too.
Yeah, I bet.
But at the end of the day, it's all about fun.
It is, because I think when I first started skating, I was like, I was going all in. I was going every day and I was like really trying to like shred. And then I got super burnt out and I was like, wait, why am I like doing this so hardcore? Like, I don't want to be pro. I'm not going to be pro. Like, well, I just want to have fun. I already know that.
Yeah. I'm in my 40s. Yeah. And why?
So now I'll go and sometimes I'll like skate for 30 minutes. Sometimes I'll skate for an hour. Like, I'll take breaks. Like, I just hang out. I have a good time. Yeah. I try and, like, work on a trick I already know or start a new trick.
Yeah, and then I think that you're on the right track. I think that with you just having fun, you're naturally going to progress. I feel like that's already happening.
A little bit.
Yeah,
I still get really in my head and scared when I'm with the homies.
Everyone does.
It's so scary.
But this is like a double-edged sword because I'm the same way, but like, because, you know, certain skaters could just skate by themselves.
Yeah.
But with me, I could do that, and I do that most of the time, like 9% of the time. But then with that, it's like hard for me to get motivated because I like kind of like being around other people knowing that they're just around doing the same activity. Yes. Even though I don't know them, but then it's that energy you get.
Yeah.
Opposed to me, like, just skating to 7-Eleven and doing
I'm the same.
Or something.
Like, sometimes when I have to do laundry and I don't want to do it, I'll invite one of my friends to come over. Yeah. Because if they're there, then I'll, like, definitely get it done.
Yeah.
I work better with an audience. That's why I like comedy.
Yeah.
That's why the drive-in shows are really weird.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So where are we at during, what's the whole setup like in the comedy world? Like, how are you performing now?
So I'm doing a couple drive-in shows.
Can we plug them right now or no?
I don't have any coming up. I've only done ones. Yeah. Okay. They seem to be very like last minute. Like, can you come to Arizona and do drive-in shows?
All right. Why don't you describe what are these drive-in shows?
So normally it's like in a parking lot or a field or an open space, and there'll be a stage in the front and the cars will be facing the stage and people will have their headlights on and they'll flash the lights when you're performing to be like, ha ha ha. But it's not the same. And it feels really disconnected. Like, I'm still having a good time, but I don't, it feels hard to like grow
yeah.
or like know how to improve when you're just hearing car horns. Like, it's just, it's very like dystopian in a way.
Yeah.
But
it's almost like there's a disconnection.
100%. It's totally disconnected.
Have you seen The King of Comedy with Robert De Niro, that movie?
I feel like I have.
Well, it's like an older movie. I think it's a Scorsese. It's an older movie where he's like this comedian, but he has like his wallpapers filled with like audience members.
Oh,
and he's
that's
like
funny.
Just, he's doing his whole bits. You should watch it. You'd actually really like it because you're a comedian.
I feel like there's a lot of movies I should have seen and I haven't.
Yeah,
but
anyway, he's like performing. It's like, it's a lot of this, like, it's like almost like his own psychosis
yeah.
and him like already like acting as if he's on the Johnny Carson show
yes.
or something. And he's like, doing his bits, but there's like just wallpaper filled with like audience members.
Have you seen Neil Hamburger's movie?
No, what is that?
It's called, he has two. There's one I think that's called The Comedian, maybe. And then there's one called The Entertainer.
I'll check that
They're
out.
They're really like interesting, yeah. artsy, like weird.
Is that Netflix
movies.
Or?
I don't know where you would stream it.
Are you watching stuff on Netflix right now?
Yeah, I'm watching yeah. Netflix, Hulu. I like reality shows right now.
What about Cobra Kai?
People were talking about
Dude,
that all weekend.
You gotta get into Cobra Kai.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't think I'm going to.
Have you seen the Karate Kid original?
No.
You have to watch the original Karate
Kid. I'll watch the original Karate
Kid. Will
you
promise you'll watch the original Karate Kid with Ralph Macchio?
I can promise that.
One of the
that.
Best movies ever made.
I can promise that. That's Mr.
Once
Miyagi, right? Wax
yeah,
on, wax off. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I'm familiar with the references. Haven't
yeah,
seen the
you
movie.
Gotta watch it. Okay. It's a classic movie.
I kind of want to... I've been watching a lot of reality shows.
Well, what, do
those
recommend?
Are, like,
what do you recommend?
I just got into Love Island. I'm late to the game. There's way too many episodes.
What's
because,
that about? Just describe it real quick.
Pretty much... So it takes place all summer. They happen live. It started in the UK. So there would be like pretty much an episode every single night.
Okay, but
and,
it like,
and
it's called Love Island.
Love Island. So they set up like maybe five women, five men. It's a very heterosexual show.
Is it a dating show?
It's a dating show. So they have to be coupled up. So they get into partners, and each week they have a recoupling.
Mm-hmm.
People get kicked off the island, mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's really fascinating,
okay,
just to kind of like be a fly on the wall for people's like, you know, personal relationships.
How do they match these people up?
They pick each other.
Oh.
So it's random five, you know, mm-hmm, it's random mm-hmm. people. The first episode, it's like either five girls or five of the guys, and they're standing in the pool, of course, because everyone's in bathing suits and they all are like ripped and hot. Mm-hmm. And each guy that comes in, the girl will either step forward if they're interested, mm-hmm, or stay where they are if they're not. The guy can choose anyone who stepped forward or anyone who's not interested.
So there's a lot of rejection involved.
For sure. Yeah. So it starts off
and
with
drama.
And
that's why people watch the show.
Yeah. It starts off with drama because it's like there's seasons where no one steps forward for someone. Someone will walk in, no, everyone's like, we're good.
That's like being on a dating app and the person is like, no.
Yeah. It's like being able to watch someone swipe right or left on you on Tinder, you know?
But in your face.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Not attractive enough.
Yes. So they
do
that.
Do more sit-ups.
Yeah. And I skip through episodes because sometimes I'm like, I'm over the drama and I'll catch up at a certain point.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's been fun. But there's also the show called The Circle on
Netflix.
What's
that all about?
It's a combination between like Big Brother and...
Big Brother magazine? Skate magazine?
No.
Oh, okay.
That would be sick. There's yeah, another sick. Reality show called Big Brother.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to describe, but it's pretty much you create... I can't... You just have to watch it. It's really good, but I want to be on it.
What's
I
the name
be
of it?
The Circle. You create like a profile, like an online profile, mm-hmm, through The Circle. And you can either play as yourself, you create a profile that's you, or you can play as a catfish.
What's
and
the objective, though?
So you have to be the most popular person to make it to the very end, because the most popular people...
It's like high school.
Exactly. It's like influencer high school. It's all online.
Oh.
You never see these people face to face. You don't know who's playing as themselves or playing as someone else. So you're constantly just trying to figure out.
You have to market yourself and
not like market yourself.
Strategize.
But, yeah, there's definitely strategy. But it seems like the most real reality show where you're not like compromising your integrity by like having to hook up with people or
yeah,
like force relationships.
Yeah,
it's more of like you're kind of, you have the opportunity to play as yourself and just form connections through that, and hopefully people just like you enough to keep you in the game long
so
enough.
So basically you just said you have the opportunity to play as yourself.
Yeah.
So you're saying for the majority of contestants, they're different people?
Some people are playing as a catfish because they're like, oh, instead of being a 40-year-old man, if I play as a 22-year-old bisexual
girl,
people will like me more. And you don't... Yes!
Sounds like an episode of Black Mirror or
yes,
something.
Yes, it's so good.
Wow.
It's so good. And
so
I
the
it.
Demographics is like from... You could be 70, you could
yes,
be 18,
and some
you
people,
could be 32.
I've been... So I went on a YouTube rabbit hole of watching other countries' versions of the show. Mm-hmm. Some people in the other countries have played with a like family member, so it's like a son and a mom mm-hmm. playing as the son, but the mom's like giving him advice. It's really crazy.
Oh wow. But what's the end result? What is the purpose of doing that?
Win money.
Okay, get so that bread. How do you win if you have the most popularity, you win?
Yeah, so each week they eliminate someone.
But what's the criteria for doing? Do you get points? Is it like a point system or?
Well, you want to be the coolest person in the house, so you don't want to eliminate someone that people like. It's very strategic. You have to eliminate people that you could like, that you could explain why you eliminated and would make sense and keep you not like a bad person.
How did you discover these shows?
COVID.
Oh my god. Are your friends watching this too?
Well, the circle was pretty big when it came out.
Oh, okay. Are you aware of this, Ren? Okay. Dude, time just flew by with this. It just flew.
Oh my god, is it already
out? Yeah, dude, it's past an hour.
No, it's not.
Yeah, dude, look at this. It's 10:08. Yeah. It just flew by, but we spent 20 minutes just on Hume Lake.
I know. 20 and on that's gone.
20 on Hume Lake. I hope we don't go to hell for talking smack on Hume Lake.
I think we're good. God's got to be chill at this point.
No doubt. You know what? I do believe in God. I don't want to put a name on too. It.
I do, too.
There is a God.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't want to put a name on
it.
You know, and then Biggie for this Smalls. Thing in October, I think that we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I don't think asteroid's going to hit.
Don't you remember? I remember when I was in high school on Facebook, there was all these event pages. The world was going to end in 2009.
Yeah, I was around during 9/11 too. Yeah, I remember that morning.
Yeah.
I remember the events. And then
guess what? We're still here.
Yeah. And that was like a real ass attack.
Yeah, real ass. Unless you go down the rabbit holes.
You know what? This is one thing. I'll leave it. I'll end it with this. The one thing I don't like about the people I'm researching, I learn a lot from them. Mm-hmm. I get really well informed, but there's no solution.
Exactly.
It's like a doomsday thing where, all right, well, this is going to happen.
Yeah, that's why when people talk about like flat Earth and stuff, I'm like, what's the goal though?
I know, but
if you've cracked the code on flat Earth, then what?
Do you have a solution? Is there like some kind of thing we could take to fly and navigate out of it?
Or? We're going
to
be fine.
Okay, I want to start plugging. Look, can we plug your,
I wish I had stuff to plug.
What do you mean? Your Instagram, your website? You have merch.
I have a podcast.
You have merch. Don't you have a shirt you're selling?
It's sold out, but I'm going to make more.
Okay, let's start talking about that.
I'm going to create a whole merch line because I found out that I really like making merch and it's really cute and
it's
people
like limited edition shit.
Limited edition shit. Except this one, whatever, I don't need to get into it, but I'm going to make more of the limited edition stuff.
And where can people get that?
On my website, aliemakofsky.com.
Spell it out.
aliemakofsky.com. I also have a podcast called Resting Bitch. It's a really fun podcast. I've had my dad on before. Add a UFC fighter. You like UFC?
Yeah.
Add Chito Vera co-main event win. So I do that podcast and then
where is that available on iTunes,
YouTube? iTunes, Spotify, mm-hmm. all the spots.
Resting
Bitch.
Love the name.
No face, no nothing. Just resting bitch. With
that's
Ali
it.
Makofsky.
What about your Instagram?
And my Instagram's pretty popping. It's a good time on Instagram.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
I go live on Omegle with strangers.
God. You're taking it up. You're getting up there. Close to 60,000.
Close. 60K? Not quite there, but we're close.
You're on your way.
Yeah.
You're on your way.
I just like to post dumb shit on there. It's fun.
People love it.
Yeah.
You're always welcome here.
I need to come back. What the
always.
Hell?
Always. Now.
You had house phone on.
Yeah. You know what? That was a fun episode. So you know about No Jumper?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm new to the whole... You know, that
jump
whole
scene.
Yeah, the whole scene. Yeah. Of the cool podcast.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Because I look at my platform like more dorky and fun.
I love that. There's room for everyone.
But I love what they're doing as well. You know, there's room for everything.
Yeah.
But we had Cam Girl and, but no for on Adam. I haven't had Adam yet. I would love to have Adam, but. Yeah, that's huge. I didn't realize how huge, right? Right. It's huge.
I know. It's crazy.
It's huge.
I forget how I met House Phone, but it was, oh, I met him at a party randomly.
He's a fun guy.
He's yeah.
Real fun guy.
Yeah.
Real fun yeah. guy.
I yeah. met him at a party randomly. We ended up becoming friends and staying connected. And I saw that he did this and I was like, dude, Stevie's
oh,
the man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was just fun. That's the thing is like, I'm trying to get into more sports people. I just had Terrence Ross. He's an NBA player, but he's hot. He's heavy into conspiracies like me.
Oh,
and
that's fun.
And we play Warzone together.
Cute.
So that was fun. And so that was fun. So, and then I had Helen Yee. And she's a sports reporter. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to like go outside of my bubble
yeah.
to get more like, I would like to get, oh, I'm going to get a tattoo artist.
Okay.
But this is my whole thing.
I just started giving tattoos.
Dope. I'm going to have my format where if they come, they're going to have to tattoo.
For sure.
Like a little flash.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Maddie. The
oh,
cook,
my
yeah.
boy.
Oh, that's your homie?
Yeah, Maddie Matheson's great.
Shout out to Maddie Matheson.
He's super
we're,
cool.
We're close, we're close, okay. we're close. Okay, so that was Allie Makovsky, part two. Catch us very soon, awkwardly on the outside of Jaquan, on the street corner, but not in the street plaza.
Yeah. Just on like a side street near Jaquan.
Just holding our boards.
Yeah.
We do have a Patreon attached to the show. It's patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. Our newest patrons as of lately is Lisa Trujillo, Amanda Charwood. We got a new one today as well, John Rehill. Still working on the music video. We're on post-production. Please bear with us. Be patient. We're still working on the post-production on the pod in which we travel. I'm working on a new concept album, a Gene Wilder Stir Crazy concept album. I don't know if it's going to be a mixtape or a EP, but I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. But I did start it, so I'm in the creative process right now. I'm trying to do it. My Instagram's Instagram/QUANGOU. The website, if you want to pick up a shirt, StevieWeebyShow.com. All my music's at StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. There is no Little Ray's World because I'm working on this concept project. We do have a P.O. Box. Send all your packages or mail or whatever you want to send to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Elbow, thanks for coming. You're
thanks
always
for having
welcome.
Me.
Hume Lake.
Represent. Shout out to God.